So we're going to start with Parshas. We are doing this week's Parsha, Parsha Bullock. The basics, before we get to the interpretations, of the beginning of this week's Parsha is that Bullock, it says, Bullock is the king of Moab. He sees the Jews coming across. He's getting nervous. He doesn't like this. The Jews are going to conquer his land. That's bad for his job safety, bad for his life expectancy. So what he does is he hires Bilam, the famous prophet, more than a prophet, the ability not just to potentially predict things like a prophet, but to actually cause things. He potentially can cause destruction by cursing people. He can cause good things by blessing people. So he decides to hire this guy to curse out the Jews. A decent strategy on paper, maybe. So this is how he starts. Verse 5, on page 857. And we have it as a link in the today's email. He sent messengers, he meaning, obviously, Bullock, to Bilam. Balaam, son of Bar, ben to Pisar. That's the place where he was. Not, I think we discussed that years ago, which is by the river. That in general, I think we said a long time ago, the river is to prove someone's not magic. River has a way, water has a way to destroy magical concepts. If he was just magic, he was trying to show the world he's not magic, and therefore he's by the river of the land of the members of his people to summon him, saying, this is what he says. This is what we'll discuss now. Balak's message. Behold, a people has come out of Egypt. Behold, it has covered the surface of the earth, and it sits opposite me. In Hebrew, the crucial we're going to discuss tonight, the Ata now, the Cha Na Arali, that's the next passage. It says here, Am Yatsim Mitzrayim, a nation went out from Egypt, and he causes Ein Aretz, he's the Aretz, covering the eyes of the earth, who Yoshev Mi Muli. So what is he? He's sat Mi Muli, Oscar says, he has covered the surface of the earth, and he sits opposite me. Sits opposite me. There's a find in there. Sits opposite me. So the word mimuli, what it would mean, according to the article interpretation, means opposite me. Rashi has, nice one to find it in English, if you can find it. Rashi has a funny phrase. Oh, I forgot that he does the article. Rashi says, stationed opposite me. Mimuli is written deficient, because it could be a five-letter word, and instead it's missing a vav, which makes it a four-letter word. And every Rashi is pointing out why it's written four letters, why not five letters? The full form, Mimuli, it has an extra letter. So that may be connected with the word mul, to cut off. They are near enough to cut me off. The word is the same as in the word, I shall cut them off, from the word amilein, which we say in Tehillim, which is interesting. So Rashi is saying the word mimuli means it's a play on words. They're close enough, opposite me, to cut me off, which means it makes sense now. What is Bullock saying? That the location, who cares where they are? It says there's a nation that came out of Israel, I'm afraid of them. So in the easy interpretation, he's adding on two words. Torah, every word's worth $1 billion. So we have to know why he's adding on these two words and why the two words are spelled deficiently. But it says he's adding on the word. But by the way, where are they? Why am I getting nervous now? That makes more sense. I think that's the next phrase. The ata, that's his next word. Now, please come and curse them. Why is he getting nervous all of a sudden? You can't find it? Akiv, you want to find the chapter and verse here? Have you got the right volume? Now, the idea is... Yeah, I'm just looking for the chapter and the verse. Chapter 22, verse 5. So here, what Rashi's saying, fascinatingly, is that Mimuli, I think what he's saying is, it's a play on words. It also means close, opposite meaning close, but Mimul is from a different root word that is double freeze. They're close enough to take care of me. So then he says, but now I got to come out. Now I need you to hire. So it's very simple. If you're just reading basic stuff, the word Mimuli is spelled weird. Okay. But these spells, it's a play on words. He said two things. They are close enough to destroy me, because Amula means destructive powers. Therefore, since they're a destructive power, let's get on the page right now. This is a serious situation. That is the most simple way of learning the explanation. Obviously, tonight, we're going to do some word challenges. And we're going to try to figure out what the word Mimuli also might mean and why it's spelled wrong. So first after Rashi, Rashi says the opposite, and it means being cut off, is an interesting thing. The end of last week's parsha, if we could scroll back, the end of last week's parsha, it says Vayusuf ben Yisrael, literally the last word. Let me see what they say here now. Just to say the goodness, since we're here, verse 5, they are sitting right by me and are poised to attack. Right by me is next to me, so curve, and are poised to attack. Okay, so now, the last phrase in the last week's parsha, if you have something funny, it says the Jews, and this is the prerequisite, the pre-event for this thing, the children of Israel journeyed, you have it the last word in the last way, so you journeyed and encamped in the plains of Moab on the bank of the Jordan opposite Yericho. A lot of directions here going on. You could see that it's unbelievable that the last words of the four last words in Hebrew the acronym, the first letters of the last words, Akiva, Me'aver, Mem, Li, Moyov, Moyov, Mem, Me'aver, Mem, Liyardin, Lamed, Yirei, Chayud. So it's unbelievable. This is from the early sorceries, so the Jewish code breakers. So he said this, what does the word Memuli mean? Spelled wrong, I might add. It's spelled wrong. We said Rashi said, by the way, Rashi doesn't always say when something's spelled wrong, but it's a vowel, it's a bit, not a big deal. Here Rashi points it out, so clearly he means something more to us. So now we have another interpretation. You know why it's spelled wrong? Because when he was describing they're sitting near me or they're opposite me, geographically speaking, as a hint of where they were. Where were they? In the place of Moab. What's the English here? Place on the bank of the Jordan, opposite Yericho. So the word Mimuli can be near. Play on words spelled wrong can be destructive. Acronym, unbelievable. Acronym can mean that it represents where the Jews are. He's literally giving them a map quest, a GPS signal. You want to know where the Jews are? That's where they are. So far, two or three interpretations, doing okay. Okay, back to this word here. And again, it's all started because this word is potentially, if not why they're all asking this question, besides every word in the Torah. One is because, I don't know if you need the phrase, there's a nation that came across, they're bothering me, and why you say where they are. So now we have different reasons where they are. I'm giving you the timing of how important it is, they're nearby, or I'm giving you a GPS where you want to take care of these guys as well, which is an act of what it is. Now, what's amazing, I'm thanking all of you guys. I came up with this late last night. I'm actually very happy with this interpretation. Called two people today. I came up with my own original concept of acronyms, which I don't usually do. Now, it goes like this. We know we should be starting now, Eliezer. That's not picking on your name randomly, but we know that now that we're in the summertime, and next week, Sunday, is already Shivas Batamas. And Shivas Batamas, what happened to Shivas Batamas? In the ancient history of Judaism, Marcia knows the answer to that. The original history of Judaism was the golden calf sin. Eliezer's nodding because I knew the answer. The golden calf sin. What happens after the golden calf? Historically speaking, the Jews got out of Egypt on the first day of Pesach. 7 days later is the Kriyas Yamsa. 42 days, 41 days later, Matan Torah. Then what happens? Moshe Rabbeinu goes upstairs from Matan Torah and he comes down 40 days later. 40 days later, Shavuos Matanos. And then he sees the disaster. One of the greatest sins in the history of the world, altering, life altering for the world. He sees the golden calf. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu do right there? He goes back up to Shemayim for 40 days to plead for our forgiveness, plead to save the nation, save everybody. And at the end of those 40 days, God says, you know what? You're okay, I forgive you. Go back, tell the Jews to forgive you, and then come back up in 40 more days, we're going to rewrite the Luchos. We spoke about a couple years ago, that Charles taped, I think, the difference between what happened, God said, I forgive you, Rosh Chodesh Elul, as opposed to when he says, I forgive you on Yom Kippur. Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom Kippur, 40 days, you should know that. So, Shivas and Batamas, 17th day of the Golden Calf, to Rosh Chodesh Elul, 40 days. So, if Shivas and Batamas is Sunday, really Saturday in calendar time, we're about 85 days from Yom Kippur. Repentance time has begun. Yeah, you're looking suspicious. You're looking guilty. I like that. You should be looking guilty of repentance time. 85 days away from judgment day. Now, the Baal HaTurim says a fascinating concept on the word Mamuli, and then we'll give our answer. The Baal HaTurim says, why is he saying the word Mamuli? He says an unbelievable idea. He says that as we know, according to this interpretation, simply put.
85 days?
Yeah, Saturday, Tuesday. So it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday. Yeah, 84. Just lost the day, buddy. Just lost the day.
2 months.
Now, so the idea is, the Yom Kippur, Hashem is 10 days before that. Right. So the idea is that the Baal HaTurim explains that we know the Jews were surrounded by the Anani HaKavod, the clouds of glory. They surrounded the clouds of glory. So the question was, what the Baal HaTurim explains, that when he said Yoshe B'muli, he said this phrase, pure strategy, we could do geopolitical stuff that's going on in Russia and Ukraine, that he said was this, I am incapable of seeing where they're going, but they can see me. Why? Because the clouds of glory had a special invisible effect to the people, protection inside. Not only were protected from bombs and missiles and guns, but they were invisible to the outside eye, but it was a one-way mirror, able to see me. So what he's saying is, according to Baal HaTurim, how he fits into this word, we'll see later, maybe we won't. Yoshua Muli means that they're sitting opposite me and they get to see me and I don't get to see them. And that becomes a dangerous situation. I can't work. It's like when your comms go out on the radio, there's no war going on. So the words Yoshev Memuli means that the Anania covered protected the Jews out of any protection. You know what it means? I can't fight these guys. How am I going to fight these guys? Shoot arrows with the what? The clouds will block the arrows. I don't know where I'm shooting at. I'm blindly shooting people. She said, oh, I'll use curses. Curses work through the crowds. Clouds. Curses work through the clouds. So I have a strike. You know what's happening? I can't see these guys. I'm a blind man in a fight. Let me hire the guy who could win. But after now that I realize they're moving, but I'm looking by binoculars and I'm saying I see nothing, let me hire the guy who's going to make me win the battle. So the Yosh Muli comes on that. Now, that is the Baal Tur. Greater than all of us could imagine. Happens to be, it's a debate on this concept. Because later on, a couple times in this week's parasha, we're not going to look it up, what happens is that Bilam takes Balak to mountains. These are all in the parasha. And he says, Balak, look at the Jews and try to see if you can place a little bit, you can see a little bit of them and try to place a curse on a few of them. So the commentator says, wait a second. We just said the Jews were invisible. So you should know, before we understand the concept of what that is potentially a question to this Yoshev movie. The Baal HaTur is learning that he couldn't see them. Now you could say the time changed. He was not able to see them at this moment. And then Bilam was able to see something. That's Balak. Yes, Charles.
I thought we just learned that Aaron had died and the clouds are in Aaron's zakut. So when Aaron died in the last parsha, which is before this event of Balaam, there were no more clouds.
Excellent. I'll tell you the excellent part and the reason why it's monstrously wrong.
Okay.
No, but let's do the excellent part. The excellent part is because the Chaskuni says this. Chaskuni lived, I think, 1300, 1200. The Chaskuni actually says this. The Chaskuni says, you asked me a question, how are they able to see, how is Bilam and Balak able to see them? I got no issue. Because Aaron died, the clouds went away. The issue is that the Talmud says in Tainus 9a, Talmud says that when Aaron died, it disappeared. We don't know how long yet, but it seems like a very short term. And then it reappeared because of the Schus of Moshe. Just like the well of Miriam. The well of Miriam disappeared. Last week's Parsha, no more water. Miriam's not around. We have no more water we can do. Moshe brought it back. So the Gemara in Tainus says that Miriam died, lost the water. Moshe brought it back. Aaron died, lost the clouds, let's go back. Moshe died, all gone. So yes, the truth is, if I wouldn't have seen this Chaskuni, I would say negative words. But it's unbelievable because the Chaskuni says it. Now, I don't know, you have to know what the Chaskuni is doing with the Gemara. Simple, I'm going to say myself, simple, the Chaskuni is going in how you read the Pesukim. Yes, the Gemara says so. And so how do you read Pashup Shad the Pesukim? I'm not sure. But you also have an argument. Now, if Yoshua really means they couldn't see him, then you got to figure out what changed to a few psukim from now, it will change, which is going to be my original answer that I came up with late last night. But before that, Charles had a very good answer. I want to remind everybody. Charles' answer was that since Aaron died, they will see. But then you're going to learn, which is fine. Yoshev Muli, not like the Baal HaTur, not like that he couldn't see them, they saw them. Yoshev Muli means they sat next to me, they were dangerous, or they were an acronym of a location, GPS finder. That's fine. So we have different explanations of Mamuli again. We have Rashi saying they're close destructive. We have this Baal Turim, Chantropola says that it's a GPS marker. If you have the Baal Turim says, no, they couldn't see anything. Then we're going to have a problem later on when it says they could see something. How do you get to see something that made any sense? So Charles is going to say that the clouds disappeared. Oh, what about the first puzzle? Charles says, no, yeah, I don't have a problem with the first puzzle. I'm learning that it means GPS finder. No problem at all. But here comes the wild answer. An original. But I thank you guys for. Something happened that came into me late last night. So it goes like this. Lamaisa was discussing that the idea is that there were 40 days. There were three sets of 40 days. First set when Moshe Rabbeinu was up there and then the sin of the golden calf happened. Then the middle set when Hashem was not so happy. And at the end of it, he said, I forgive you. And then he said, come back up. And then he said, I forgive you again. There were two sets of 40 days. Now, as you just pointed out wisely, the last set of 40 days, we can divide it by 30 and 10. 30 and 10 is 40. Why? It starts with Chodesh Elul, 30 days to Rosh Hashanah, 10 days to Yom Kippur. So yes, the last 40 days are 40 days. We today value those 40 days. Rosh Chodesh Elul, we start blowing Shofar. We start saying with Avad Hashem Ha'iri. We take the 40 days seriously. But the 40 days can be divided into two concepts of 30 and 10. It's not the far as the world. So it's 30 days to Rosh Hashanah and 10 days to Yom Kippur. The month of El is 30 days of Rosh Hashanah. The middle 40 days, order, that nowadays, Moshe Rabbeinu, as Eliezer said, was sitting and davening, not only for others, as Eliezer said, but davening for himself. And nowadays, it's not far to say, that starting Shabbos Vatamas, 4 days away, buddy. 4 days away is a very serious time to begin repentance. It begins the second set of 40 days where Moshe Rabbeinu was davening and praying and asking forgiveness. So today, even though we start to blow the shofar from Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's practical law. But many of the commentators bring down that already from Rosh Chodesh Tammuz and already during the month of Tammuz, even before this, in fact, you got to start repenting. So it's not far to say that from Tisha B'av, that from Shivas with Tammuz, for sure we begin the concept of repenting. Why do we begin the concept of repenting? Because right now is when Moshe Rabbeinu went up and he prayed for 40 days. Now, when, this is the unbelievable idea, when did the story, calendar-wise, of the year of Bilam and Balak occur? So amazingly, this Imri Emes, the Ger Rambam, but there's other sources as well, say that it occurred on Sukkot itself. He wants to answer Charles's question. How is it possible they were able to see the Jews? Balak brought them up the mountain and said, hey, Bilam, check out the Jews. Jews are protected, they're invisible and uncovered. Another couple went away. One answer went away because Aaron Akayim, different answer. The Imri Emes says, which is a whole conversation we'll get to maybe eventually, Imam says that when it came to reality, the calendar year of Sukkot, the actual Ananiah covered went away, and the Jews were sitting in real Sukkot. They want to do the mitzvah. So if they're not covered, they can't do the mitzvah. So they decided to do actual Sukkot. We're going to be there. They did real Sukkot. When did the story begin? The way it began during the Sesame Chuba. Before Sukkot, it began. Early. Right after Yom Kippur, maybe. So it could be that when it began, Bilam said, I can't see these guys, I'm blind, why? Clouds were still around, there wasn't Sukkot yet. And then when he gets to Balak and Bilam get to meet on top of Ramah, Sukkot began, the clouds go away. It's not me, it's Imri Emes. I happen to love the Imri Emes. Now, so that Imri Emes is now saying a new thing. He's not saying my thing of the answer to the question, but I think he's automatically
asking. Does it work with chronologically speaking? That's the question.
He has a whole thing how it works, yeah. That this was early in the year, already Aaron had passed away. Aaron passed away beginning of Av. Aaron passed away, Rosh Chodesh Av.
Like 6 weeks later.
So if you're in, right, yeah, it's not so crazy. Now, now it's unbelievable, this. So what happens, the Jews, when did the Jews begin the concept of asking forgiveness? I would say year one in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu went upstairs, he prayed, then this all happens, that's fine. So the year when they start doing this, okay? So now what happens not soon? I would say from year two on, the Yidden in the desert every year during the 80 days prior to Yom Kippur, every year, we're davening. We're trying to get what he pulled. So now, let's go to the acronym. Charles, go back to the original pasuk and start doing your red pencil. What's the phrase say here? Keeps, what does it say? The last word. Yoshe mi muli. They're sitting opposite me. Now that first mem of mi muli is a prefix. Not the root of the word. It's a prefix. So they're sitting. Prefix means from or opposite or to, whatever the mem is a prefix, not the real word. The next three letters are mem, logam. Muli is opposite me. Mimul, opposite. Now, the mem, lama yod, can be, numerically speaking, the mem is represented as 40 days, and the lama yod represented as 40 days, 30 and 10. So the mem meant the 40 days from, he's saying, where they're sitting, they're sitting from Shivas and Tammuz to Rosh Chodesh Av, 40 days. Rosh Chodesh Av to Rosh Hashanah, 30 days. Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, 10 days. It makes sense? 40, 30, and 10. 40, 40, 40. Which means, thank you, Marcy. Thank you, everyone on screen. Thank you, everyone in this room. I thought this last night. You know what Balak was telling him? You know why he says, after now, what am I nervous about right now? What am I getting nervous for? They don't get nervous for right now. Because what he's saying is, the Jews now have repented. The Jews now have just spent 80 days in repentance. 80 days in repentance. You know what means 80 days in repentance? We're in big trouble here if we want to win this war. Because how do the Jews win and lose wars? Well, we lift our hands up to Shemayim, Eshna Bayamalik. Not about the hands, Eliezer. It's not about guns and missiles. It's about recognizing Kiva, Hashem's power in the world. So what Balak was telling Bilam was, I'm in total panic mode right now. I'm about to go to war. Maybe I see them. Maybe I don't see them. That's an argument we can discuss with Charles later. At what point they lose the clouds. Maybe they're nearby, like Rashi says, and they're ready to destroy. I'm all good with these things. I don't have a problem with any of these things. They're nearby to destroy you. Maybe I'm giving you a GPS map as well. I have no issue with any of these things. But maybe also one more idea. Maybe he's telling him, you know, why now? I'm afraid. Because we just finished Yom Kippur. Because that's when around the story is occurring. We just finished Yom Kippur. Imri Emes says that in a couple days from now, they're going to be on Sukkot. So you have to assume it's right before that, right before Sukkot, right? So you know he's telling right before Sukkot? I got bad news, man. Bad news. The bad news is that the Jews now are pure, purified, uncontaminated. Can't touch them. I did see, to the point now, what I did see, Charles, to be fair, what I did see, I saw someone else say that Mimuli represents the Torah because 40, 40, and 40. I was like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what that means. I just don't know what it means. What does it mean that the Mimuli is 40, 40, and 40 for Moshe when we went to get the Torah? I don't know what that's doing anything. It means the 40 days, the 40 days, the 40 days, the three sets of 40. So I'm like, what are the three sets of 40? I have to what anyone discuss. Then I started thinking maybe time-wise in the Mamres. Then I'm thinking, let's cut out the first mem to do repentance. Why he'd be afraid? Because of Sukkot. So the idea was, it's great, right? The idea is we have a many different things. This word Mimuli, I'm going to add it to only the Matal Mitzvah that in the entirety of the word Mimuli, we have a drush here. We have a huge question on how to interpret this word and mean what it means. Now, this word Mimuli is going to then tie into other concepts. Did the Yidden have a Sukkot? On Sukkot, on Ananiah Kavod, we're not getting it. That's a Sukkot conversation. And were the Ananiah Kavod a one-way mirror? What we discussed years ago, we might be able to find it on camera, on the screen, what we discussed years ago, what it says was this var. The var was that there were other early commentators that said that the Ananiah Kavod worked both ways invisible. Not only could the outsiders not see in, the insiders couldn't see out. And we remember we discussed then, what's the difference? That meant the Jews could never be Mekadosh the Chodesh in the Midbar. There's an early commentator that says, that means, how do we work a real calendar year? Not like today. When there's a real Bez and everything, what they do is, you have two witnesses who see the moon, the new moon, right? The moon, there's how it goes. Basic stuff that Eliezer has taught in high school for years. The moon disappears for a couple days. Then it reappears as a sliver, moves, gets larger till around the 15th of the month, then gets smaller till it disappears for about a day and a half. So how do you know when the new moon is? That's called the new moon. The new moon is when two witnesses come to court, they say, we saw a new moon. In the desert, they couldn't do new moons. Why? Because when they looked up, they saw nothing. In fact, the interpretation that Rosen's on camera, he loved this interpretation years ago. It said like this. Unbelievable concept. I don't remember if you and Akiva loved it. I remember Rosen was going crazy. It says like this. It says, when Moshe Rabbeinu died, who took over? Joshua took over. Joshua took him next to the Judaism. And it says that the elders of the generation, some of the passage, every word's worth $1 billion, the elders of the generation said, Elder and I said, guess what? We lost Moshe Rabbeinu, who was the son, to Yeshua, who became the moon. And there's 1,000 interpretations of what that means. But it said the elders were crying. They said, you Moshe what? So Bionis and Eichitz says, wait a second. Why does it say the elders? And a simple interpretation, you know, I dealt with. They remember Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a simple interpretation. It's a genius idea. The elders were only ones capable of saying the concept of a sun and a moon. The people born in the desert for the last 40 years never saw a sun, never saw a moon, because the clouds of glory work both directions. There's no seeing in, no seeing out, a total protection from the outside forces. A total protection. You didn't go for the last time?
Listen, how did they know when space was? How did they know when Shabbos ended?
It's a big question. How they work time in the Midbar. Yeah, it's very, very unclear how it works. So the simple answer is going to be the clouds that switched. From the night clouds to the day clouds. Remember that?
Different clouds.
Different clouds. But it's a good question. It was a serious question. If you hold, many do. There's a question of what the Ananiah Kavod were. Was it only a smoke screen, play on words, that they couldn't see in? Or was it a double screen that couldn't see in or out? Or maybe some ideas that it just was clouds of protection they could see in and out. But that's why it says the elders said Moshe is like the sun. You know why the elders said it? They knew the concept of a sun. The rest of the people have no idea. They know what sun was, as Rosen pointed out in years past. Elders, the people went into Egypt were told, by the way, man is not falling anymore. You're going to start planting seeds this big and it's going to grow trees. Looking like Dubista Meshuggah. Dubista Meshuggah, what does that even mean? What do you mean plant a seed? You tell me I wake up in the morning, there's no man at my front door? I grew up from day one. I'm 40 years old. I never saw a seed in my life. Every day I wake up in one. It was a massive transition. A massive transition from desert life to Israel life. Massive transition.
The first time I went to the bathroom afterwards,
I didn't even think of that. Well, it does say, speaking of that, they did go that excellent, by the way. It does say that during the Midbar, by the story with the Baal Par, it says they gave them food to eat and they had to go to the bathroom. Look at the chain of thought for the interpretation.
Actually, they ate quail too, so they've gone to the bathroom, they ate quail as well,
right? But definitely much less. It definitely might have been an eye opener for some of the people. I don't know when the quails would have to stop measuring now, the years again.
Oh, wait a second. It also says that when the army goes to war, they have to bring a shovel with them to... Oh, that's the, is that Talmud? Is that
no? That's coming up later though.
So it says we have to wear a shovel for their waste.
Right.
So obviously they knew, understood waste, what it was.
Because right, but it wasn't I would guess all fans just thinking on the spot. It wasn't a daily event. No, correct.
He said the mud was 100%.
Right. I'm saying so. Even though they knew about the concept, it was a foreign concept, not an easy, mind-boggling concept to go into. So now.
Okay. Now, when it came to the clouds business, all right. In the previous parsha, you had the enemy attacking. So they had
They attacked when? After Aaron passed away. When Aaron Akoyim passed away, the clouds disappeared. That's when they attacked.
Yeah, but they also saw it before Aaron passed away. Didn't they see the Jews move around?
Not necessarily. It depends who you go by. Not necessarily. It's not so clear. You're right. It's not, if you go with the Baal HaTurim this week over here, they could not see it. Question what that is. But in the simple interpretation, Charles is right. By the war, that the cloud did disappear here or there. For example, the famous one, it disappeared after the sin of the golden calf. But when it disappeared, the question is, it almost for sure, based on the Gemara and Tainus, it returned. The question is when, how much long, how much time in between. But it could be without those times in between, nobody saw. Okay, running out of time, we'll stop here.